Good to see everybody here this morning. I know we've got a number of our folks who are either out of town or sick at home. We want to keep all those folks in our prayers. We often sing song number 545, "This World Is Not My Home." And in that song, it talks about that we're just passing through this world. This life that we live is very temporary. And to that end, I want to talk about the death in the Christian. And I hope to help us see that death to the Christian is not the end of all things. But in very much is true, it is the beginning of all things. Life is a precious gift from God. I don't think anybody would deny that. I think life, as has been given to us, as God's desire for us, should be cherished. I think it should be enjoyed. I think it should be lived to the fullest. And again, as God has desired it for us to live. Most people like to talk about life and the enjoyment of life, family, friends, outings, things of that nature. But when you stop and think about it, few of us really want to talk about death, do we? You know, you stop and think about it, it's not a real comforting thought in many ways. We use euphemisms. Well, old Fred, he passed away. Nancy, she passed on. And it helps to soften the effects of someone dying. And yet the Bible speaks frequently of death. All the way back in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age. Back up further than that, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 27, so all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Nearly all of the faithful of God died, at least in the classical traditional sense of dying. People like Joshua, Moses, David, all of those died. Most of the prophets. And yet we have exceptions, don't we? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 3 tells us that Melchizedek had neither beginning of days nor end of life. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't literally die, but we have nothing recorded of it. We don't know how and when he left. Think about Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 says that Enoch was translated so that he did not see death. He left this world, but he didn't die in the classical sense of the word. Elijah was taken to heaven by a whirlwind. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. Other than these, all men have died, including the apostles of Jesus Christ himself. We all know the old saying, don't we? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. And I think that's very true. I'm not advocating to anybody that we ought to be in a hurry to die. God gave us the life that we have for a reason. And folks, the truth be known, the older you get, the more you'll understand this, the more you will concur that the years go by quickly enough as it is, don't they? Sometimes you can stop and you say, where did it all go? What happened to all of it? Because it goes by so quickly. Folks, the Bible speaks of death. Even Lazarus. Boy, this is an interesting one here. A dear friend of Jesus died in John chapter 11, verses 11 through 14. And in fact, we know that Jesus called Lazarus forth from the tomb. He had to have died twice. What a curious thing to think about. The Apostle Paul told the church at Philippi that he had a desire to depart and be with Christ, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. Paul didn't fear death. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us that we will return to the ground, to the dust you shall return. Death is a reality. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, Paul spoke of death as the dissolving of our earthly tabernacle, this physical body, only to be replaced by something better. James chapter 2 and verse 26, the body without the spirit is dead. See, death comes when the spirit of man departs his body. That's when it really is true death. And while the spirit departs the body at death and the body returns to the ground from which it comes, the spirit of man, we learn from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 21 and Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, the spirit of man belongs to God, and to God man's spirit will return. So that's what I meant when I started out. This earthly tabernacle is temporary. And in some ways, when we die, it is the beginning of something even more. The cold, hard facts of life is and are simply this: we will all die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 tells us that. There is a time for death, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 2. A time to be born and a time to die, Solomon wrote. And still, isn't it true that for the most part we fight death? In a sense, we are repulsed by it. We avoid any real serious discussions about it, and yet I think we need to talk about it. Most of the times we make jokes about it so we don't have to honestly confront the reality of this subject. But I really believe we need to talk about it. Because, folks, it is a reality. It is going to happen to us. Save the Lord returning before we actually physically die, we're all going to confront that. Let me emphasize that there is a death that we should be fearful of. That is spiritual death. Our own mortality begins to sink in, I think, as we begin to grow older. As we begin to watch our parents grow older, we begin to see their frailties. We begin to see our frailties. This is even really more aware of this right now than I've ever been. As my mother is 89 years old and I see her physical health declining. But our mortality literally pales, if you will, in comparison to losing someone to spiritual death. We all know if we live long enough that our physical bodies are going to go by the wayside. We all understand that we don't do the same things or can't do the same things that we did 15, 20 years ago. In some cases, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But we can't do those things anymore. But beyond all of that, let's forget the physical aspects. Let's talk about the spiritual aspects. Folks, the Bible does not paint a pretty picture for those who are spiritually dead. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, we're told that eternal death is to, quote, be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Spiritual death means that if I die in a lost condition, I will be forever separated from the presence of God. And God is the ultimate source of all life. I'm going to be separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of the power of God. You know, today, if we falter, if we stumble, we can come back. If we separate ourselves from God, I can still come back to God on God's terms. We read Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of unforgiven sin is eternal death. Both Jesus and Jude clearly explain the destiny of those who die in a lost condition. In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, Jesus said that they shall be separated as goats on the left, and the Lord will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. These," he said, "shall go away into everlasting punishment." Jude put it this way, they will suffer, quote, "the vengeance of eternal fire." The punishment and the consequences of eternal death cause that to be, the spiritual death, to be something that we really and truly ought to fear. It ought to be something that is on our hearts and our minds on a regular basis, because that is something we don't want to lose our life to. Because that is a death that we can't come back from. Once done, it's done. The physical death, or the child of God, as we'll see in just a moment, is something that we wish not really and truly fear. Now, we'll talk more in depth about that here in just a moment. But the child of God has something to look forward to. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13, verse 15 speaks totally of a different subject, doesn't it? The spiritual death as the second death. And our names being blotted out of the book of life. But let's talk about the Christian. And why we should not fear this physical death. Now, when I say that, I want to emphasize something here. This does not mean that we should not have some justifiable questions, some concerns, a little bit of angst, maybe a little bit of anticipation about what death is. And what really made me think about this was this past year in football. There's an NFL promotional spot that ran quite a number of times over the course of this past football season. It had in this spot NFL great running back Eric Dickerson. Anybody who knows anything about football, and especially in the Southwest Conference, back in the day when Eric Dickerson and Craig James were running backs for SMU, they terrorized the Southwest Conference. This was a tandem of running backs that just was unparalleled at the time. And in particular, Eric Dickerson. Oh man, he was some kind of running back. And in these promotionals, it was him recalling his very first meeting with an NFL great of all times, Walter Payton. And again, if you know your football, Walter Payton went to Jackson State, played football there, went to the NFL, and played for the Chicago Bears. And he was called Sweetness for a couple of reasons. One of them was his ability to run that football. He was an incredible running back. And Eric Dickerson, though there was a difference in age there, and Walter Payton became good friends. And upon learning of Walter's unusual diagnosis, it's a very rare disease that he had. I don't think I can even pronounce it, so I won't try. He had a very rare disease that affects the liver and the bile ducts and all this kind of stuff. And it's a death sentence. And upon learning Walter's death diagnosis, Eric Dickerson asked him, "Are you scared?" And as Eric related the story, Walter Payton answered it this way, "Of course I'm scared. I've never died before." Never died before. And everything I know about Walter Payton was a genuinely great man in so many ways. He was a kind man. He was good to his family, from what I understand. I think he tried to be a Christian. And yet he could still say this. "Are you scared?" "Of course I'm scared. I've never died before." So I think when you stop and think about it, even as Christians, there's nothing wrong with us pondering this, because I've never died before. I've never been there before. I don't know what that's like. To the faithful child of God, though, There is some comfort in it. Because we know from God's inspired message that when we leave this life, we're leaving something for something so much better as a child of God. As a Christian, I can look back on my life and say, look, a lot of great and wonderful things happened in my life. And I made great friends and I had good family and all these different things that I could talk about and I can think about. Great experiences in this world. But no matter how great they are, I know as a Christian that there is something that awaits me that is so much better. I know that there is something that makes everything in this world pale in comparison to heaven. I don't care how good of a life I had, how wonderful it was, the best of friends. I don't care what you put into the equation. As a child of God, I can see that death is profitable. Philippians 1 and verse 21. Paul there, and again, Paul was one of great courage, great conviction, faithful child of God. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He saw that his physical death would actually produce something positive and profitable in his life. For Paul to live would have been quite advantageous, if you will, to the church, to his brothers and sisters in Christ here. He says, but to die meant that his trials and his tests and his labors here on earth were finally going to be over. He says, to be with Christ is far greater. To die is a gain to me. Folks, that's the kind of attitude that we need to have. To the Christian, to die is to be victorious. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 57. We learn there that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet call, he says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Changed from the physical to the spiritual. No longer do we have the problems and the issues that we have here on earth. Now we can be with God. And listen, death is swallowed up in victory, Paul wrote. The sting of death and the grave's victory will be no more. And he writes that God will give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be victorious. Death, to the Christian, does not mean that we've lost the battle, but that we've won the battle. Like Paul would put it, I've been poured out as a drink offering. I'm ready to go. Folks, the called out, the holy ones of God are precious in His sight. Psalm 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. You know why it's precious in His sight? Because when we die as His children, as those who are truly called out of this world, we're now in His possession completely and fully. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. John wrote this, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. We are considered to be favored, blessed, when we die in the Lord. Our labors here on earth, our trials and our struggles and our tests and all the things that go along with this life are done with. And our works that we do, John says, follow us. For the faithful child of God, to die is to receive that promised reward. For the faithful Christian, to die is to receive the promised reward from God. Look again, think again about what Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. After he said in verse 6, that I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering. That means he was ready for death. He was ready for that time. He said after that, I have fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. And therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day. Paul understood the reward that came his way. And yes, while sometimes when you stop and think about it, and it's not a subject that we always like to talk about, it's not something that we always like to think about, it's not something that we dwell on a regular basis, and I don't think God wants us to dwell on it. It is something for the faithful child of God to realize that yes, there really and truly is victory. Yes, we really are precious in the sight of the Lord. Yes, there is promise there that when we die, that then finally Satan has his hands off of us or grasping for us, and we are with God. Second chapter, verse 10 of the book of Revelation, Jesus would tell the church at Smyrna, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That life supersedes what this world offers us here. Sometimes we can look around the world and we shake our heads and wonder, how did we get here? What happened in this world? Why are we seeing the evil that we see in the world? Why is it all taking place? But for the faithful child of God who dies as a child of God, as a faithful child of God, those are gone. They're no more. To the Christian to die is to be received by the Lord and to be with Him throughout eternity. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, Paul would write these words to the church at Thessalonica. He says, for the Lord Himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise, then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall forever be with the Lord. And then verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The Christian can view death so much differently than the non-Christian. The child of God can see this great plan that God has for us to go to a place where there is no more sorrow or tears or pain or suffering and no more death. God offers that. So for the faithful child of God, we can see death a little bit differently. And it doesn't mean, again, that we have to be in a mad rush to get there. I don't think God tells us that. But what it does tell us, that when that time comes, we can face death with some certainty. We can face death in a positive light. And while we may have a little bit of nervous anticipation, because no, we've not, single one here have ever died, we don't have to fear it. Are you a child of God? Are you a Christian? Have you been obedient to the gospel call? We ask a simple question, why not? If you know what you need to do to be saved, if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're ready to confess your sins before me and repent of it, or confess Christ before me and repent of your sins, you're ready to be baptized and have your sins washed away. We don't know that day, we don't know that hour when death is going to come. We might live to be 110, but death might come today. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready for the judgment day? Maybe it's the case that you're a child of God and you have been compliant. You've obeyed the gospel of Christ and you've allowed the cares and the struggles and trials and tests of this world to pull you away from God. We want you to know that it's so easy to come back to God. So easy. God wants you to come back. He stands, as it were, with open arms ready to receive anybody who has strayed away from the truth and strayed away from Him. You can face, once again, you can face God and you can face death with confidence by coming back to God. Whatever your need may be, if we can help, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?